الحمد لله رب العالمين ونستعينه ونستغفره أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله All praises be to God. We praise Him. We seek His assistance. We seek His guidance and ask His forgiveness. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. He has no associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last. Is His servant and last messenger. How about that? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Glory be to Allah and praise. There is no deity but Allah. Allah is the greatest. Wa hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. There is no power, no might, but from Allah, Most High, the Great. My talk to you today is about the Quranic word, Al-Amanah. Or what might be translated in English to mean the trust. The subject of trust is so important in our daily life. If people would trust one another and live by it, they would live in peace and harmony. But we don't fully trust one another. And we don't act rightfully in all situations. Yet, this is why we see wars, confusion, a state of disturbance in all the different societies of the world. My dear Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us to put our trust in Him. He demanded that we should fulfill our trust and make sure that we deal with trust. We've learned in our reading in Quran that human beings have specific characteristics that set us apart from other creatures. And one famous verse, the Quran refers to the sum total of these specific characteristics as the trust, which in Arabic is the amanah. I'm going to do this in translation. We did indeed offer the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to undertake it, being afraid thereof. But man undertook it. He was indeed unjust and foolish. This is Assam, or the Confederates, Surah 33, Ayat 72. In order to begin the task of understanding the sense of this verse, we have to remember that a trust is something precious that one person asks another person to hold for a keepsake.
In this case, Allah has entrusted something to human beings, and they are to hold it for Him. On the appropriate occasion, they will have to return it, as the word itself implies. The Quran says, and in translation, Allah does command you to render back your trust to those to whom they are due. We have to think about a trust. When Allah gave us this trust to have free will to deal with, this was a trust that we're supposed to use in the proper way so that we get the benefit, so that the society gets the benefit, all human beings get the benefit, all the creatures in this world get the benefit. This was the trust that we accepted. This was the trust that we said we would accept, we would work at, we would do. This was something that was refused by creation, refused by the mountains, refused by the trees, refused by all the other things in creation. Man accepted that trust, which made it our obligation at that point to do everything that was asked of us by Allah. To redeem a choice and to volunteer to use this option according to the will of Allah. This was what we volunteered to. This is what we accepted. This is what man accepted. Dear Muslims, Allah has instructed us to fulfill our pledges, our promises, and our commitments. Anytime we make a promise, we have to fulfill it in order to be considered among the believers. It is said that every believer is a Muslim, but not every Muslim is a believer. We have a responsibility that we've accepted. We have to work at it. We have to deal with it. We have to honor that. There's a responsibility that goes with it, and we've volunteered for it. We've accepted La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. And in accepting that, we also are accepting the responsibility that goes with that. All of the things that Allah has given us, all of the things that's been asked of us, we've accepted this. We've accepted it, and now we have the responsibility to act on it and to deal with it to the best of our ability. And with that best of our ability in dealing with this, if we do, Allah has promised us paradise on the day of judgment. Because that's when we have to give back this trust. We actually give back the trust when we cross the Barzakh, because we cannot do anything for ourselves no more at that time. When we die, That's the end of our effort. That's the end of our actions for anything for ourselves. Inshallah, we leave behind people, family, community, situations that bear witness to our efforts to complete the trust that Allah has asked us to commit, or to complete, or to submit to. We said we would. Now we have the responsibility of doing it to the best of our ability. All of us have submitted to La ilaha illallah. We're all here from different places, different parts of the world, different situations, different communities. We still go back to different communities, different situations, but in all of our actions and everywhere that we go and everything that we deal with, we take that responsibility, we take that trust, we take that thing that we bore witness to hold dear and protect and work at for the pleasure of Almighty God Allah. We're seen by everyone that we pass, everyone that we see during the day. Our actions are also seen by everyone who sees us. There are some people who, through their actions, may be asked if they're Muslim, because of their actions. There are some people who may be submitting to La ilaha illallah vocally, but their actions are something else. They're afraid to submit wholeheartedly in the society that we're in. The society that we're in, especially here, is drawing us to something other than La ilaha illallah. Now, if our actions are different from La ilaha illallah, then maybe it's because we have fear of something other than Allah. This is something we have to consider. This is something we have to think about. Because we're presented things in our life every day, on TV, in the movies. Everywhere we look, we're presented with the society that we live in, which is something other than Islam. We have to go to school, we have to go to work, we have to go to different situations, different things that we do in this life, we go and we deal with them. But do we take part in them in a way that pleases something or someone other than Allah? We still have to be pleasing to Allah no matter what the situation is around us. We don't have to be arrogant. That's not what Islam is. We don't have to be boisterous. We don't have to demonstrate who we are, what we are, every place we go. That's not what the trust is. That's not what's asked of us by Allah. Allah asks us not to worship anything other than Him. That doesn't mean You have to do anything specific that's visible. Some people might say it's in the clothes that you wear. Some people might say it's in the way that you have to deal with what you have to do. There was a situation that a brother was making a salat in the park. And a few people stood around and watched in disbelief of someone that had enough faith to pray to the Creator of all things. They watched him, and then they asked questions about what he believed in. These things, we don't have to demonstrate for people. But some people feel the need to make this a lot no matter where they are, when it's time to make it, no matter what the situation is. Some people feel in their hearts that that's what they need to do no matter what. Some people come to the masjid no matter what, time for prayer, makes a lot on time, every day. Some people do this. These are people who are concerned about the animus. We understand that if you make the prayer at home, it's not a sin on you. What Allah asked of you was to make the prayer. That's the most important thing. If you make it to the masjid, you get more blessings. But the most important thing is to do it. This is fulfilling the trust. This is working on trying to be pleasing to Allah. Not demonstrating actions to anything or anyone other than Allah. That's not what we're asked to do. Although when it's done, it's okay. But we have to think about these things. We have to think about it. Because in them comes the action. If we're thinking about the Quranic reading and recitation, if we're thinking about it and we're working with it, and we're trying to understand what it is that Allah is asking of us, and we're working at doing it and actually doing it, if we're doing that, then Allah says He will bless you with the understanding. He will bless you with the mercy. This is what we're seeing. We're seeking these answers so that we can understand, so that we can have the proper submission to His will, so that we can help our families to understand, so that the day of judgment we can hand back the trust and be in gratitude, knowing that we did what Allah asked of us. He said if we do that, our blessing will be paradise. This is what we have to work at. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to teach our families. This is what we have to work at most of all. And Surah Al-Mu'minun, the believers. Allah says the following about good qualities of the believers. I'm going to give you the translation. Of the believers. Those who faithfully observe their trust and their covenants, and who strictly guard their prayers, these will be the heirs. This is Surah 23. 8-10 and Surah Al-Mu'minun.
kill Muslims, I should point out that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called Al-Amin, the trustworthy, a trustworthy person. He fulfilled all his promises from his childhood until his death. He never betrayed anyone. He never lied in his life. He was the best example of a man to mankind. Dear Muslims, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us that the following items are part of the trust that we have to fulfill. That is salat, ablution, weighing and measures, being honest in our dealings, private talks, being concerned and aware of how we deal with that, not to give away trust, not to backbite. Be good at advising others to do the same. In one hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us to fulfill the amanah, fulfill the trust, even if the other party is not trustworthy. Discharge the settlement to those who entrusted you and didn't betray even the one who broke his promise. This was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Discharge the settlement to those who entrusted you and didn't betray even the one who broke his promise. Dear Muslims, we have to be informed by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whoever does not fulfill his promises does not have faith and does not have religion. In one hadith he said, there is no faith for anyone who has no trust. And there is no religion for the one who does not fulfill his promises. So it's in our actions that we benefit. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted people who mistrusted or was not trustworthy to him. I'm sure from reading Quran and looking at the things that he has asked of us, his trust went to people who were trustworthy. Now there are people who are trustworthy who sometimes have difficulty and they break their trust. This happens. But for the benefit of us all, Allah has also let us know that when we make a mistake, when we do break a trust, when we do cause a difficulty that is not part of the religion of Islam, to ask for mercy, to ask for forgiveness. This is the most important thing. When Allah put Shaitan, Adam and Eve, out of paradise, he said, get ye down from here with enmity between you. That's enmity between Adam and Eve, enmity between Adam and Satan, Eve and Satan. Because they broke the trust. But the benefit was for Adam and for Eve was asking of forgiveness.
seeking to gain the mercy of Allah, knowing that there was a mistake made, knowing that we broke the trust. When we do, ask for forgiveness. This is what we're working for. We're working to try to understand. When we make a mistake, ask for forgiveness. This is what Allah is asking of us. Because in that asking is the mercy. If we're serious about what we're doing, and if we're serious about what we're doing, some of these things that we ask for forgiveness for, we won't do again. But if we ask for forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over and over and over, it's really difficult for us to forgive, let alone Allah. But we don't know what Allah is going to do. We have to think about what we do. Think about our responsibility, our trust that we hold. If our friends give us something to hold for them, that's a trust that we have to keep. If we say, okay, I'll keep this for you. When they come back and you give them that trust back, alhamdulillah, you've completed the obligation. This is the same trust, the same understanding, the same realization that we have with the Amanah. We bore witness and we accepted the responsibility from Allah. And when He comes to redeem His trust, we have to give it back. What condition will it be in? What condition will that trust be in? Will it be all dusty and ragged because we threw it in the corner and left it? Or will it be something that benefited us and we used it to the best of our ability? We used it to help others, to benefit situations that cause all of us to be able to learn something from, to benefit from. If we deal with it in the proper way, it will stay in the condition that we received it. We want to try to give it back in the best condition possible. This is something we have to think about. It's truly important. In another hadith, and this, it is reported that the advisor is to keep things in confidence. We are informed by our beloved Prophet that whoever does not fulfill his commitments, pledges and promises is considered to be a hypocrite. It is also reported, when someone hears a discussion from a person who does not want their name to be released, it is considered to be a private conversation. It is a trust. And even if he did not ask to be kept in private, because he asked his name not be mentioned, it makes it automatically a trust that we have to keep if we're involved in a situation like that. This eliminates the backbiting. This helps us gain the understanding of how to deal with each other, how to deal with ourselves in protecting not only ourselves, but protecting our brothers, protecting our sisters, protecting our families, protecting our communities, protecting our nation. All of these things come into play.
Dear Muslims, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us the things that help us to live an honest and a happy life. Among the few, he mentioned the following. If you have these four qualities, you should not worry about what you miss in your life. To take care of the trust, to speak the truth, to have good manners, and to have modest and pure food. Dear Muslims, I wish to ask you kindly to observe and to fulfill your pledge, your promises. Whatever you promise someone, try to carry it out. Carry out your promises perfectly and try to be on time. So as to consider them among the believers, please do not break your agreements, your promises, your pledges, and your contracts. Try to fulfill them as soon as possible and in the perfect, best way. Do not even delay the fulfillment of your promises. Don't be among those who say, tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Let us look all together for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us train one another to practice the teachings of Islam. Let us fulfill our covenants and our pledges to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we have promised, especially what we promised Him, we should execute to the best of our ability. By so doing, we will earn His blessings, His mercy, and His forgiveness. Let's do it. Dear Muslims, let me end my khutbah with an ayat from the Quran in Surah Al-Mu'raj, The Way of Ascent, about the qualities of those who perform the regular prayers. Let me translate. And those who respect their trust and covenants, and those who stand firm in their testimonies, and those who guard the sacredness of their worship, such will be the honored ones in the Garden of Bliss. If you see that what I said goes against what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah, said, then cast my views aside. I beg Allah His mercy and forgiveness for anything that I said that was wrong. And for everything that I said that was right, I pray, inshallah, was from Allah. In Islam, aqidah, belief, is the counterpart of Sharia, because Islam is composed of both aqidah and Sharia. Sharia means the practical duties enjoined by Islam about acts of worship and dealings with others. Aqidah is a matter of knowledge which the Muslim is obliged, or obligated, to believe in his heart. Because Allah has told him about those matters in his book, or through the revelations to his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The basic principles of the Aqidah called command, the basic principles of the Aqidah, Allah commands us to believe in, or mention in, they are mentioned in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, Ayat 285. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and in translation. The Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers, they say. We make no distinction between one another or his messengers, and they say, we hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the return of all. May your rahmah, O Allah, be on the Muslims and the Muslim Ummah all over the universe. This day of Salatul Jummah, the best of all days. And may you, Allah, bless the Muslim Ummah all over the universe with an ever-increasing sincerity in their hearts, to enjoy that which is right and to forbid that which is wrong. With mercy from you for all those in difficulty. Help those who are fighting to gain peace, those who are hungry and homeless to gain peace, food, and shelter. Bless those of us that are here and those of us that are not here, but nevertheless have the same resolve. La ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Lahu mulk wa lahu hamd. Yuhyi wa yumeet. Bihiyadihi al-qayru wa huwa al-ayra kulli shay'in qadir. There is none worthy of worship but Allah, who is alone and has no partners. His is the kingdom, and for him is all praise. He gives life and causes death, and his hands are all good, and he has power over all things. Our Lord, pour out constancy on us and make our steps firm. Help us against those that reject faith. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and anything we may have done that transgress our duty. Establish our feet firmly and help us against those who resist faith. Blot out our sins and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. You are our protector. Grant us victory over the unbelievers. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Translation. Our Lord, cause now our hearts to stray after thou hast guided us, and bestow upon us mercy from thy presence. Lo, thou, only thou, art the bestower.